Praise God. Good evening. Hi, y'all. That was a simultaneous hi to people watching by live stream and to Will and Tara. Simultaneous. Praise God. You know, what you hear is important. The Bible says that faith cometh by hearing. But fear also comes by hearing. Yes. You can hear the word of God and faith arises. But you can also hear the word of the world or the devil and fear rises. So you have to be careful how you hear. And when you hear, to make sure that you have the filter of God, the word of God, up to filter out the ungodly that's trying to come through what you're hearing. But if you have the word up in your mind, so to speak, then you can filter out. You can hear. Keep up with what's going on, or know what's going on, but then you're filtering as you hear, so that what's out there doesn't get in here and get in here. So you have to be careful not to marinate in the word of death.
Well, say that.
You can keep up with what's going on and be in the know. Jesus himself said, watch and pray. Now, some of us, we just watch. We watch all morning, watch all afternoon, watch all night. But if you don't watch and pray, and you're just watching, and there is no prayer, no declaration of the word to combat what you're seeing, then you'll just let whatever be whatever. You're watching so that you now have an opportunity to pray and declare over what you just heard to not be that, but to be what God said. So Jesus said, watch and pray. So you have to be in the season that we're in, when there's so much immediate information, and we have the internet and television and social media, and there's so many messages out there that you can be hearing. Faith cometh by hearing and hearing. But fear also cometh by hearing and hearing. And if you're just hearing, and you're not combating that with anything, you don't have a daily discipline of meditating the word of God, you're not watching and praying, hearing and praying, hearing and declaring, hearing and filtering, then you can sort of gradually find yourself slipping, sliding into a place of fear. Because fear does come by hearing, right? Just like faith comes by hearing. So we want to be aware of that in this time and in this season. That's not the message tonight, but thought I would share it. Tonight we're talking about in the midst. In the midst. What happens when we find ourselves in the midst of the storm? You know, we like when the seas are calm. and nothing's going on, nothing bad is going on, nothing bad is happening around us. But what happens when we find ourselves in the midst of the storm, in the midst of the trial, in the midst of the temptation, in the midst of the tribulation? You know, God says victory. He always leads us in triumph, whether that's around or through. And sometimes we find ourselves on the through route. It's not that we avoided it. It's we're right in the midst of it. We're right in the middle of the trial, in the middle of the tribulation. And so what can I expect from God? What can I anticipate from God in the midst of the storm? What should I be expecting now that I found myself in the middle of it with all this stuff going on? What should my expectation be? What should my hope be? What should I anticipate from God when I find myself in the midst of a financial storm, physical storm, a social storm, a mental storm, a societal storm? What should my expectation be? What should my hope be? What should my anticipation be? Victory is always on with God. But sometimes it's around, and sometimes it's through. And we love when God keeps the storm away from us. You know, I don't have to deal with that. Everything is smooth sailing, smooth seas. It's one thing to be victorious because you've never gone through anything. It's another thing to be victorious when you've gone through something. It's easy, and I'm not saying that we look for challenges. Trust me, there's enough challenges out there to experience our fair share. But Jesus said, I speak these things to you, John chapter 16, verse 33, that in me you may have peace. There is always peace in him. There is always peace in Christ. Amen. He said, in the world out there, you have tribulation. Or there is tribulation. There is the potential in the world to experience tribulation. But he said, rejoice. He said, be of good cheer. I have overcome that tribulation. I have overcome that storm. I have overcome the world. It says in 1 John like this, whatever is born of God overcomes the world. How many of you are born of God? Then you have already overcome the world. So when you're out in the world and you're experiencing tribulation all around you, know this, that victory has already been won. There is a solution for what you're going through. There's a solution for what you're dealing with. And so there are many people right now that are going through, that are in the midst of the storm, whether it's They're on lockdown. Whether the grocery stores are running out of things, whether it's sickness or disease or the threat thereof, whether it's job loss or tight finances, whatever it is, there are many people going through. But the good news is that that doesn't change God's word. That doesn't change the word of victory or the word of triumph. Who is God and who is Christ to us in the midst of the storm? And what should we expect? What should we anticipate and look for from God when He allows us to go through? I did not say He brings forth death. But He allowed Christ to go into the wilderness. He allowed people to speak against Him. He allowed a storm to rise up on the sea. The good news is, when the fight is fixed, how big of a challenge is it really? So, as always, we want to look at the word. How many of y'all like the word? We want to look at the word to answer this question. What should I expect? What should I anticipate? What should I look for from God when I find myself not having gone around it, not having to deal with it at all, but right in the middle of it? So we're going to take a look at a couple of scriptures, if that's okay. Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Verse 13, no temptation, somebody say no. No means not any. No temptation has overtaken you, but such as is common to man. What you're going through is not new. Other people have gone through it and come out on the other side. Which is not common, such as is common to man. And God is what? Faithful. Know that God is faithful in the midst of the storm. Who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able. That's grace. Grace is strength beyond your own strength. Grace can keep you in the midst of temptation in tribulation, but with the temptation, if a teacher gives you a test in one hand and gives you the answers to the test in the other at the same time, with the test comes the answers. If you don't get 100 on the test, something wrong. God gives us the answer with every test. When the test comes, know that the answer is there as well. So what we need to start doing is looking around. Because I know there's an answer to this some way, somehow. But with the temptation will provide the way of escape also. So when you're going through the storm, You should be anticipating and expecting a way of escape, a way out of it. God will bring you out. He has provided a way of escape with the storm that has come your way. Second Timothy chapter 3, verse 10. Now you followed my teaching, conduct, purpose, faith, patience, love, perseverance, persecutions, and sufferings, such as happened to me at Antioch, in Iconium, and at Lystra. What persecutions I endured, in the last phrase, and out, somebody say out. Coming out of the storm, coming out of the tribulation, coming out of the trial, and out of them a couple. Out of them all. There is no situation that God cannot rescue you from. Out of them all, the Lord rescued me. Paul tells Timothy, there's nothing that I've gone through that the Lord hasn't rescued me out of. There's been no persecution, no tribulation, no trial that I've gone through that the Lord has not rescued me out of. Somehow, some way, at some time. So when I am in the midst of the storm, I am looking around for the rescue boat. Because there is a rescue somewhere in here, because it says right here, out of them all, the Lord rescued me. The Lord brought an answer. The Lord brought me out. I am anticipating rescue, although I am going through what I'm going through right now. It may feel like night right now, but morning is manifesting, because there is a rescue in my future. Amen. There is an escape in my future. Amen. Psalm chapter 23, verse 5. You prepare a table before me in a calm area. You make a table. Now, a table is a place where you nourish yourself. A table is a place where you eat and get the nourishment that your body needs. It's a place where you may sometimes rest with the family and get around the table and talk and cut up, hang out, have a good time. This is all taking place not in a place of calm, but in the midst of enemies. It's one thing to have a prepared table at a park for a picnic. It's another thing to set up a table, nice, beautiful spread, in the middle of hell. And so this is powerful because he says, you prepare a table before me, not in the peaceful park, but in the middle of my enemies. And so enemies are not just people. Enemies can also be things. God said the last enemy to be destroyed will be death. That's a thing. He says, in the presence of my enemies, in the presence of lack, you will prepare supply. In the presence of death, you will prepare life. In the presence of confusion, you will prepare order and direction. In the presence of my enemies, you have prepared a table so that even though I'm going through, I can still eat. Even though my bank account is on zero or negative, you still cause me to eat in the midst of the storm. You will prepare a table for me so that I am taken care of and nourished in the midst of the storm. God knows how to take care of his people, take care of his children, take care of his family in the midst of the storm. He knows how to nourish them even though. Turn to Revelation. Chapter 12 and verse 3. Revelation chapter 12, verse 3. Then another sign appeared in heaven, and behold, a great red dragon having seven heads and ten horns, and on his heads were seven diadems, and his tail swept a third of the stars of heaven and threw them to the earth. And the dragon stood before the woman who was about to give birth, so that when she gave birth, he might devour her child. The woman is in the midst of being devoured, or trying to be devoured. She is in the midst of the storm. Now, many scholars say the woman here is Israel. Whether you believe it's Israel or some other entity, can we just all agree that this is God's, according to the verbiage used here, woman. This is God's entity here, that he might devour the child. And she gave birth to a son, a male child, who is to rule all the nations with a rod of iron. And her child was caught up to God and to his throne. Then the woman fled where? Into the wilderness. How many of you feel like you're in the wilderness? Don't answer that. It's rhetorical. But if you feel like you're in the wilderness, what should you be expecting? What should you be anticipating? The woman fled into the wilderness where she died. The woman fled into the wilderness where God had a place prepared for her in the wilderness. It wasn't on a cushy beach somewhere. It was in the middle of the wilderness, so that there, somebody say there. It says in the Old Testament, I've commanded the ravens to feed you there. It says, so that there, it doesn't have to be on a beach. It doesn't have to be at a resort. It doesn't have to be when the seas are calm and still. It can be when the storm is raging. It can be there, because there she would be what? Nourished. She would be nourished in the middle of the wilderness. When you are going through, when you are in the midst of the storm, you can expect God to take care of you. You can anticipate his nourishment of you, even though every situation, every circumstance says there's no way for you to be nourished. You don't have the resources to be nourished. Even though the situation, the circumstances are not ideal, God can still do it. God can still take care of you. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 16. At my first defense, no one supported me. You ever felt like no one was with you? No one but you were standing? All your friends turned their back on you, left, Your dog left. Your cat left. Everybody left. It's just you. That's a storm. And they left you to clean up the mess. Paul said, I had to make a defense in front of man. At my first defense, no one supported me, but all deserted me. Not even my husband or my wife was around. But all deserted me. May it not be counted against them. Don't hold a grudge when people desert you. Forgive them. Allow God to forgive them. And you go on. He says, may it not be counted against them. I don't have to worry about man because of verse 17. If man won't stand with me in the midst of the storm, if friends desert me in the midst of the storm, I got verse 17. And verse 17 says, but the Lord stood with me. No man was standing with me in the midst of the storm, but the Lord is standing with me. When you are in the midst, anticipate the Lord standing with you and strengthening you and causing you to be able to stand in the midst of the storm, so that when the wind stopped blowing and the waves quit raging, you are still standing there. You haven't quit. You haven't given up, not because of your strength. If it was just your strength, you might not be standing anymore. But you found the Lord standing with you in the midst of the storm, in the midst of the trial. You found His strength and His grace to enable you to stand, to enable you to be strong. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 7. Because of the surpassing greatness of the revelations. For this reason, Paul tells you what the reason is. He says, because of the greatness of the revelations, to keep me from exalting myself, there was given me a thorn in the flesh. He tells you what the thorn is. A messenger of Satan to torment me, to keep me from exalting myself. Concerning this, I implore the Lord, I don't want to deal with this. I don't want to go through this. I want smooth seas. I want smooth sailing. But now I find myself in the midst of this. Now that I am in the midst of this, what do I do? What happens here, Lord? Now that I don't have smooth sailing, now that the seas are rough, what is my expectation? What is my anticipation? He says, I implored the Lord three times that it might leave me. Now, the verse doesn't say that God said it's not going to leave you. What the verse does say, verse 9, this is the word that he got from the Lord. How do you know that, Brian? Because it says, and he has said to me. That is a word from the Lord to you. He has told me about this situation. God will speak to you about the situation that you're in. He will speak to you about the storm that you're in. He will give you a word concerning the storm that you're in. You may not like the word. The word may not be the way your flesh wants it to be. But God has a word for you in the midst of the storm, and it's a good word. Just because you don't like the word doesn't mean it's not a good word. Sometimes we don't like things that are good for us. It's just who's defining good, you or God. And this is the word that he gave me. My grace is sufficient and able to take care of you in the midst of your weakness, for power is perfected in weakness. He says, my grace, my power will be ever present is ever present in the midst of the storm, and it is strengthening you. It is empowering you to stand and win over the situation that you're in and not be moved, bothered, or affected by it. The only way you can do that is by His grace. Not by your own strength, but by His strength. Grace is God's strength beyond you, God's ability beyond your ability. Paul told the church at Corinth, I want to talk to you about the grace of God that has visited the Macedonians, because they gave beyond what they were able to. That's what the grace of God will do. It'll cause you to go beyond what you thought you could do. It will cause you to stand where you thought for sure you would fall. But it's not your strength, it's the grace of God that empowers you, that it strengthens you in the midst of the storm, in the midst of the situation. John chapter 11, verse 1. We all know the account of Lazarus, who was sick. They sent for Jesus. Jesus waited 4 more days, and then he came. Now, it would have been nice for Lazarus to avoid the sickness, but he's in the midst of the sickness. And it would have been nice for Lazarus to avoid death, but he even went there. But when I'm in the midst of the storm and the deadline has passed, I can anticipate, I can look for God to go beyond the deadline and bring back that which was lost, redeem the time that was lost, to get me back to where they said I couldn't come back, to go beyond the natural into the supernatural, to get me where I need to be and put me where I need to be. When you are in the midst of the trial, the tribulation, and time is up, the deadline has passed, don't think that God has to stop working at that time. God is still able and can continue to work. What you do want to make sure you're doing is listening to God, because like Paul said, this is what he said to me about this situation. How God is going to do it and when God is going to do it is not your category. Your category is to anticipate God, whether it's before the deadline or after the deadline, I receive victory in the midst of this storm, in the midst of this situation. Even if the milk has expired, God can redeem the milk. If you have a word from him on that. If you don't, throw it away. Pour it out. It's important to have a word from God about that situation and not just trying to do what people tell you that you should do, because you can only walk in faith where you have a word from the Lord for you in that situation, not what people are telling you to do or trying to live by somebody else's faith. You have to live by the word that proceeds from the mouth of God for you, for your situation, for the storm that you're in. But God does have a word for you, and it's a word of peace. It's a word of comfort. It's a word of grace. Daniel chapter 6, verse 16. Then the king gave orders, and Daniel was brought in and cast into the lion's den. He's going into the den. He's not avoiding the den. This is not smooth seas. He's going into the storm, into the den. The king spoke and said to Daniel, It's great when you have your enemies testifying that God's going to take care of you and deliver you. He says, the God whom you constantly serve will himself deliver you. A stone was brought and laid over the mouth of the den, and the king sealed it with his own signet ring and with the signet rings of his nobles, so that nothing would be changed in regard to Daniel. Then the king went off to his palace and spent the night fasting, and no entertainment was brought before him, and his sleep fled from him. Then the king arose at dawn, at the break of day, and went in haste to the lion's den. When he had come near the den to Daniel, he cried out with a troubled voice. The king spoke and said to Daniel, Daniel, servant of the living God, has your God, whom you constantly serve, been able to deliver you from the lions? Deliver you from the lions. As we said at the beginning of the message, whether it's around or it's through, God can deliver you from, deliver you out of. Just because you find yourself in the storm doesn't mean that now God can't bring you out of the storm. Verse 21, then Daniel spoke to the king, O king, live forever. My God sent his angels and shut the lions' mouths, and they have not harmed me. My enemies were all around me, but they didn't get to me. I was in the midst of the storm, but I was not taken under because God kept me. He says that God shut the mouth of the lions. They have not harmed me, inasmuch as I was found innocent before him, and also toward you, O king, I have committed no crime. Then the king was very pleased and gave orders for Daniel to be taken up out of the den. What should your anticipation, expectation be if you find yourself in the midst of the storm? God is bringing me out of the den. God is bringing me out of the den. There is a escape plan, not the movie. There is an escape plan being put together. And as a matter of fact, it's not being put together. It's already been put together. I'm coming in contact with the escape plan, and I'm coming out of this. I am walking out of this. My God is able to bring me out of the den. It doesn't matter if I go through or around, I still have victory. If you put me in the lion's den, I won't like it. It won't feel good. But God's grace will keep me and strengthen me, and he'll bring me out. Paul said that everything I've been through, somehow, some way, the Lord rescued me out of them all. I'm able to say, the Lord. I didn't know how I was going to get through it. I got through it. I didn't know how I was going to come out. I came out. I'm in a different place now than I was then, not because of me and because I'm so great, but because God brought me out when it looked like I was definitely done for. Matthew chapter 8, verse 24. And behold, there arose a little itty-bitty storm. There arose a great storm. You're dealing with something big. You're going through a big storm. What can you expect from God if you have found yourself in the midst of the storm? So that the boat was being covered with the waves, but Jesus himself was asleep. What do you think would have happened if they wouldn't have awoken Jesus? They would have gone to the other side. The story would not be Jesus drowned and now he can't go to the cross. He was asleep, but they were fretting. And they came to him and woke him, saying, "Save us, Lord, we are perishing." Had they not woke him, would they have perished? No, because the word had a purpose that was going to be fulfilled, and it didn't involve them drowning. But it seemed like they were perishing. It looked like they were perishing. It felt like they were perishing. And he said to them, "Why are you afraid? Why are you afraid?" Well, Jesus, don't you see these big waves? This big storm? This is why we are afraid, because we see with our eyes this big storm and we are feared. We are scared. "Why are you afraid, you men of little faith?" You men of little faith. I think we can all say we've had moments in our lives that we aren't necessarily proud of, where we've fallen victims of having little faith. But it's not about having faith in our faith. He didn't say have faith in your faith. He said have faith in God. So even if you fall down in the area of faith from time to time, God still keeps you in play. He can still keep you in play. And we see it here. He said, yes, you need to grow up in faith, guys. But I'm not letting you drown. You need to grow in your trust of me, your trust of God, your trust of God's will, plan, and purpose for your life. But as you grow, I'm not going to let you drown, because I have a purpose for your life. And until that purpose is through and you're able to say, "I ran my race, I finished my course, now awaits for me a crown in heaven, and I'm ready to go." Until you finish your course, I will keep you in play. And it says that then he got up and rebuked the winds and the sea, and it became perfectly calm. The men were amazed and said, "What type of man is this? What type of nature are we seeing on display? What kind of man is this that even the winds and the sea obey him?" So they were in the midst of a storm. And it wasn't a little storm. It was a great storm. And in the midst of the storm, what can we expect from God? What can we anticipate from God? We can anticipate him somehow, some way, bringing calm, bringing peace, where there are raging waters, raging waves, raging winds. I'm anticipating the peace of God. I'm anticipating the eye in the midst of the storm. You can be in the eye of a hurricane, and there are 100 and 200 mile per hour winds around you, but if you're in the eye, it is peaceful. You are in the eye of the storm because you are in Christ. Christ is that peace. He is that rest in the midst of the storm. Brian, things aren't ideal in my life right now. I'm going through things that hurt, that are painful, that are very, very uncomfortable. financially, physically, mentally. The word for you tonight is that you are in an eye. Yes, it's going on around you. Nobody's doubting that. Yes, you are experiencing it. And yes, it's very uncomfortable. But you are in Christ. And he said, be of good cheer. Yes, there is tribulation in the world. There is tribulation in your life. I get it. But in me, I say these things so that in me, you have to keep your eyes fixed on him. You have to keep meditating the word. Stay in prayer. Maintain a prayer life. Don't stop those disciplines to go take care of the problem. Many people spend so much time fighting the circumstances that they leave their place of rest. They don't read the Bible anymore. They don't pray anymore. They don't fellowship with other believers anymore because they're too busy fighting the problem. And so they leave their place of rest. They leave the eye of the storm to go fight the winds. Just stay in the eye. Keep your eyes fixed on him who is the author and the finisher of the faith that you have. You have to keep your eyes fixed on him. Don't marinate in the word of the news. Yes, stay informed. Yes, know what's going on. But let your meditation be in his law. Now the law of the Spirit. Let your meditation be in his word. Don't stop praying in the godly disciplines to go and fight now. Stay in the eye of the storm and be led of the Spirit. And as God tells you to do things concerning the situation that you're in, obviously go and do them. But when you do them, now you're doing them from a place of rest and being led by the Spirit instead of just going out in your own strength with no grace and trying to fight it yourself. Okay? There's a big, big difference there. So the word tonight, God can still move and flow and work even if you are in the midst of the storm right now. Maybe you didn't go around it this time. Maybe you are through it. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Yea, though I walk through. The operative word is through. In this situation, maybe you didn't go around the valley. You find yourself going through the valley. But he still leads us in triumph in every situation, in every circumstance. Amen? Amen. Praise God. Pastor Richard.
Praise God. Good word. Good word. Very timely, very fitting. We appreciate that, Brother Brian. Thank you. Thank you. Father, we just thank you for the word that we've heard. We thank you that you are delivering. You have already made a way. You are the way maker. You're the miracle worker. And I thank you, Father God, that there is nothing in our path, nothing in our way, nothing that we are in that is too hard for you, that is too big for you, that is too late for you, that you can't do it. And Father, we thank you. I thank you so much, Father God, that your love and your peace and your joy is resident in us. And I thank you that you are working in our behalf. Our faces, our hearts, our lives are turned toward you, Father God, and you said that you would show yourself strong. So I thank you, Father, that all of those that are here and that are watching online, that you are showing yourself strong. And we rejoice in the victory that we know we already have. Thank you, Father God. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise you, Father. Glory to your name. Glory to your name. Hallelujah. Well, it's been good to be in the house of the Lord. Thank you for coming. Thank you for showing up online. We appreciate you being there. We are moving forward and going together. So We will be back online Sunday morning at 10:30. So join us there. And then, let me bless you. I call you blessed of the Lord, and whom the Lord has blessed, none can curse. That great is your peace and undisturbed composure, because you are a child of the Most High God. It's your heritage that you walk as His sons in the earth, that you are surrounded by favor, and no weapon formed against you prospers. But everything that you put your hand to is prosperous, because you are led by the Spirit of God, and He directs your paths. He directs your ways. You are the light of the world. You are the salt of the earth. You are blessed to be a blessing. And every area and every situation and every way, you are the blessing that God is bringing into the earth. And through you, all of the earth is being blessed. You're blessed. We'll see you on Sunday.